So what we're going to do, though, is we're going to continue with the book of Acts in our study, and we're going to do a lesson that I've put together called Women of Action. Women of Action. You see, there are two primary ways that we tend to look at the book of Acts. One way is to divide the book of Acts into two primary parts. And we say that Acts chapter 1 through Acts 12 is the ministry of the Apostle Peter, and that Acts chapter 13 through the end of the book, 28, is the ministry of the Apostle Paul. And there's another rather common way to divide the book of Acts up, and that's geographically, as the gospel spreads, just like Jesus told the apostles in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. So what you have is Acts chapters 1 through 7, showing the gospel spreading in Jerusalem. And then Acts chapters 8 through 11 has the gospel spreading throughout Judea and Samaria. And then Acts chapters 12 through 28 shows the gospel spreading to the ends of the earth. And those are very, very good ways to look at the book of Acts. But when we do that, we sometimes tend to look at the book of Acts and we tend to overlook some of the actions, if you will, of the women in the book of Acts. Because sometimes people look at the book of Acts and think, oh, there are all these guys. There's Peter, there's Paul. What about the women? Well, there are plenty of women in the book of Acts. And as we'll see this morning, we're going to notice that there are women of action who prayed and women of action who expressed their faith. And women of action who were healed, and women of action who were full of good works. And all of that happens in the book of Acts. Now, some of the passages that we're going to look at this morning involving women of action are going to overlap into other categories, and that's okay? But for today, I've gone ahead and placed certain passages into specific categories, partly for the sake of time. Y'all want lunch, right? Okay, so where do we start? Well, let's start in the beginning. And if you've got your Bible, and Bill, I know I've already placed a mark there. You can open up to the book of Acts in chapter 1. And if you have an electronic device, you could click and tap or whatever you like to do. Okay, so Acts chapter 1 is where we want to start. And we're going to start by looking at women of action who prayed. Women of action who prayed. And you remember that in Acts chapter 1, Jesus gave his final instructions to the apostles and then ascended. And then in Acts chapter 1, verse 14, we read this. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Now think about it. The church had yet to be born. All right, the Spirit had not yet come. Matthias had not yet been chosen, but the 11, along with the women, including Jesus' mother, prayed constantly, continually. They devoted themselves to prayer. And we can only begin to speculate about what they prayed about. The Lord's return, he just left. The Spirit to come, that's what Jesus promised. Maybe for their loved ones and everything that's going on. Did they pray for healing, or just did they give praise to God? Whatever it is that they prayed for, the women here in Acts 1 prayed regularly with the other disciples. Okay, well, what about other examples? Well, over in Acts chapter 12, King Herod did his best to please the Jews by persecuting the Lord's church. That's the way he kind of, got some good cred with the Jews, being a people pleaser and persecuting those Christians. And so we had James, the son of Zebedee, a brother of John, put to death. And he locks up Peter in prison awaiting a trial, I put it in quotes, and possible execution. And so what do the women do? Well, they pray. They pray. Acts 12:12 tells us that the disciples were at the house of Mary, the mother of John Mark, and they were all praying. They were praying. The women you see in the book of Acts are praying women. By the way, long story short, Peter is miraculously released from prison and he rejoins the disciples at Mary's house. And since we're looking at women in a positive light, we won't necessarily talk about Rhoda, but you can look it up later. Okay. You see, the Lord, though, heard their prayers and released Peter. Rhoda's a good girl. Anyway. And turning over four chapters, if you're in Acts chapter 12, going over to Acts 16. And there we read about Paul, Luke, Timothy, Silas, and others visiting a river where the women there were doing something. Were they washing clothes or fishing? You know, what were they doing at the river? Well, they were praying. They were praying by the river. In Acts chapter 16, verse 13. And we'll talk some more about all that a little bit later. But for now, let's look at just one more example of women in action who prayed. And that's found over in Acts chapter 21. And this is at the tail end of Paul's third missionary journey before he went to Jerusalem. And starting in verse 3 of Acts 21, we find Paul in the city of Tyre. And at Tyre, he found disciples there who were very encouraging to him. It's nice to be able to travel from place to place and find brothers meeting together that are encouragement, you know. So he finds some very encouraging brothers there. And before Paul left, verse 5 says that all the disciples and their wives and children accompanied us out of the city, and there on the beach we knelt to pray. You know, again, we see that not only the men, but the women and their children went out and prayed with Paul. They prayed with the Apostle Paul. They said, "Hey, Paul, I know Jerusalem's looking tough. Let's go out and pray." Isn't that wonderful? We need to be able to do that more with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Speaking of prayer and children, we should be like the three-year-old boy that Paul Harvey once told about, who went to the grocery store with his mother. And before they entered the grocery store, his mother said to him, "You listen up, young man. You're not going to get any chocolate chip cookies, so don't even ask." So she picked him up and she put him in the cart's child seat and wheeled him on down the aisles. And the little boy was doing just fine, you know, until they came to the cookie section. And he saw the chocolate chip cookies and he stood up in his seat and he said, "Mom, you know, can I have some chocolate chip cookies?" She said, "Well, no, I told you not even to ask. You're not going to get any cookies." So he sat back down, looking a little defeated. Well, they continued down the aisles, but in the search for certain items, they ended up near the cookie aisle again. So the boy asked again, "Mom, can I please have some chocolate chip cookies?" And she said, "I told you that you can't have any. Now sit down and please be quiet." Well, finally the time came for them to check out. The little boy just knew that this was going to be his last chance at some cookies. So just before they got to the checkout line, he stood up on the front seat of the cart and he shouted in his loudest voice, "In the name of Jesus, may I please have some chocolate chip cookies?" And everybody round about just laughed. Some even applauded. But don't you know, due to the generosity of the other shoppers, that little boy and his mother left with 23 boxes of chocolate chip cookies. We need to pray. Because like we've seen, women of action prayed in the book of Acts. Okay, we also see that women of action are women who expressed their faith in the book of Acts. Women expressed their faith. Now, we could say that all of the Christian women expressed their faith in the book of Acts. As a matter of fact, many were even persecuted because of their faith. But that's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about are the examples of women in the book of Acts who heard the gospel, believed, repented, confessed, and were baptized. Now, we can easily look to passages like Acts chapter 2 and verse 38 and state this fact in a blanket fashion to show that people of all genders were saved. But as we go through Acts, and as we geographically expand from Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth, we start to see some women of action being mentioned by name. For example, back in Acts chapter 8, where we spent some time last week looking at Simon the sorcerer, you remember that in verse 12, the Samaritans believed Philip as he preached the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, and they were baptized, both men and women. See, women start being able to be singled out here as being something special to a certain degree. Now, I know that, again, is somewhat generic because it's just saying women, because the text mentions women here not in a specific way, like that, you know, well, that was, you know, Sally Sue or something like that. But again, we'll get there. Still, it's important to remember that the gospel is for all and that the people needed to understand that. That's why Paul had to remind them in Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 28, that you're all sons or children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who are baptized into Christ, have clothed yourselves with Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek nor slave nor male nor female, you see. For you're all one in Christ Jesus. Okay, back to the book of Acts if you turned away. You should still sort of be right there in Acts, okay? All right. So, what women, if any, are mentioned by name in the book of Acts? Well, again, in Acts chapter 16, we notice that God made sure that we remember Lydia's name. She is one of the few women mentioned by name in the book of Acts who, upon her belief, was baptized and became a Christian. We see that in Acts chapter 16, verse 15. Of course, there are many other women who became Christians, but their names, for one reason or another, aren't mentioned, just like not every single guy's name is mentioned either. For example, just one chapter over in Acts chapter 17, during Paul's second missionary journey, as Paul is preaching the gospel in Thessalonica, verse 4 says that some of the Jews were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, as did a large number of God-fearing Greeks and not a few prominent women. That phrase, not a few, means that there were a lot, okay, of prominent women who obeyed the gospel. And then as Paul and Silas traveled and preached in Berea, verse 12 tells us that many of the Jews believed, as did a number of prominent Greek women and many Greek men. So again, we have women being mentioned saying, hey, yeah, they're obeying the gospel too. It's not just guys. You see, you go back to the early chapters of the book of Acts, and we'll say, yeah, well, this number includes, I mean, it's just men and not including women in the count. We start talking about how many were there. Were there 3,000? Were there 5,000? So on and so forth. And just one more example, and this one does mention a woman by name, and this is still in Acts chapter 17. But on down to verse 34, when Paul was in Athens preaching at the Areopagus, making known the unknown God, we're told that a woman named Damaris became a Christian. Damaris. And we don't know as much about Damaris like we do Lydia, but she's mentioned by name for us to remember. You see, saying that you have faith in Jesus, but not putting him on in baptism is not being a Christian, right? Jesus said that you need to believe and be baptized to be saved in Mark 16, 16. Baptism is clearly important, you see. Once when a woman had made the decision to put Christ on in baptism, she was curious as to what she would feel when she was baptized. Well, you know, the preacher didn't know how to answer because people express themselves in different ways when they're baptized. Anyway, after she made her confession of faith, the preacher put her under the water, and as he did, her body stiffened and her eyes popped open. And the look on her face was a mixture of excitement and surprise. And all the preacher could think of as he's looking at her down there in the water was, hey, Lord, how come I didn't feel that? You know? Well, as he pulled her up out of the water, she put her hand on the back of her head and started rubbing. See, it was then that he realized that while they were talking, he backed too close to the steps and bonked her head, you see, on the baptistry steps. Baptism is important, but hopefully we don't knock him unconscious, you see. So anyway, women of action express their faith in obedience to the gospel in the book of Acts. Okay, we also see women of action who were healed, who were involved with miracles, women who were healed. Okay. Again, while Paul and Silas were in Philippi back in Acts chapter 16, Paul healed a slave girl who was possessed by a spirit, the Greek says, of puthone. So he healed her, and both Paul and Silas were there. And were they given thanks for what they had done? Were they praised? No, they were thrown in prison for it. But that's another story for another time. Still, what we want to see here is that a woman was mentioned and healed. Sometimes, you know, we'll go through the scriptures and think, well, you know, the guy with the shriveled hand was healed. The lame man was healed. The blind man was healed. You know, you can go through the list of all the men that were healed. Well, here we have a woman who is healed, okay? Probably one of the best examples of a woman of action being healed is found back in Acts chapter 9. And we've looked at Acts 9 where we're talking about the persecution of the church and the conversion of, of Saul to Paul. But in Acts chapter 9, further down toward the end, in verses 36 through 43, the apostle Peter is traveling about, and he eventually comes to Joppa. And again, that's Acts 9, 36 through 43. So I'd like to go ahead and read that text if you're there. He says, Luke says, in Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha, which when translated is Dorcas, who was always doing good and helping the poor. About that time, she became sick and died, and her body was washed and placed in an upstairs room. Lydda was near Joppa, so when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydda, he sent two men to him and urged him, please come at once. Peter went with them, and when he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room. All the widows stood around him, crying and showing him the robes and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. Peter sent them all out of the room. Then he got down on his knees and prayed. Turning toward the dead woman, he said, Tabitha, get up. She opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He took her by the hand and helped her to her feet. Then he called the believers and the widows and presented her to them alive. This became known all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. Peter stayed in Joppa for some time with a tanner named Simon. Now Tabitha, her Aramaic name, or Dorcas, her Greek name, was a woman of action, wasn't she? And we can see that in our text. Dorcas was clearly a woman of faith, right? We're told that she was a disciple in verse 36. So she already believed and was baptized. In other words, she was a Christian. So when she died, she was in paradise, in heaven bound. So one of the things I've got to ask is, why bring her back? Well, Dorcas, you see, was a woman of incredibly good godly works. And we'll talk some more about other examples of good godly works from women of action in a few minutes. But verse 36 tells us that she was always doing good and helping the poor. She's like the woman in the Lord's church. You look around and say, what is she doing? Well, she's doing this for the church. She's helping this. She's that type of person, always involved. You see, not only that, but it says she blessed the widows with handmade robes and clothing. Talk about doing good all the time. You know, she doesn't have a smartphone or a TV or a computer, thankfully. Instead, she's busy interacting with other people and encouraging them and doing good godly things. Suffice to say, Dorcas was such a blessing to the Christian community, it just tore them up when she passed away, you know? And she just got sick and died. They were just distressed. So they begged Peter to do something. And by the Lord's will, Dorcas was raised to life again. And her resurrection became known all over Joppa. And many decided to follow Jesus because of what had happened. Woman of good reputation, you see. Now, we know that today, the only time a dead person is going to resurrect like Dorcas is when Jesus returns. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. But spiritually, Christ raises us up and brings us to life when we're baptized, Romans 6, 4. So the best thing that we can do is tell people about how we were raised from the watery grave when we were immersed into Christ, and that they can do the same thing. That they could have new life today, you see. Again, women of action were healed. And like Dorcas, we also see that there were many women full of good works in the book of Acts. And we want to go ahead and mention some more of those. Women full of good works in the book of Acts. Again, while it's true that we're not saved by good works, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, Ephesians 2, 10 tells us that we're created in Christ Jesus to do good works. So as Christians, we do good works not to be saved, but because we are saved, okay? And in Acts, we see women of action full of good works. That's the word I'm looking for. Take a look at Acts 16 again. And there in Acts 16, Paul meets a young Christian man named Timothy. All right, about now you're thinking, wait, Timothy's a guy's name? Okay. But you see, it's got to do with the women behind Timothy who are full of good works. That's important here. You see, over in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, Paul writes to Timothy, who at that time is the preacher at the church in Ephesus. He's writing to him to encourage him. And he says in 2 Timothy 1, 5, he says, I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. So you see, Timothy's grandmother and mother lived their faith and shared their faith with young Timothy. And he became a strong Christian and a gospel preacher. What a great work for a woman of faith to do, to train a child in the way that he should go, and to be a preacher too. All right. Another example of women full of good works is found in Acts chapter 18. And there in Acts 18, we read about the husband and wife ministry team of Aquila and Priscilla. I know some people say Aquila, but since Aquila rhymes with Priscilla, I keep it Aquila and Priscilla. Okay. Tomato, tomato. Here in Acts 18, we find that Aquila and Priscilla worked together at their craft of tent making, which is how they met fellow tent maker, the Apostle Paul, when he came to Corinth. Of course, Aquila and Priscilla just didn't share tent-making skills with the Apostle Paul. They were also fellow workers in Christ, Romans 16:3 tells us. Plus, it's there at Corinth where Aquila and Priscilla provided a church house for the Christians to meet at, 1 Corinthians 16, verse 19. And then later on in Acts 18, we find Aquila and Priscilla there in verses 24 through 26, opening up their home to Apollos, who is a preacher, and he's got a few things not quite right. So they open up their home. They say, come on over, Apollos. We want to sit down and have a little study with you. I say, yeah, sure, okay. And they go ahead and they explain to Apollos how to do things a little bit better. Maybe things weren't quite right with what he was teaching. So we can see from the rest of Apollos' ministry in the book of Acts that that husband and wife team of Aquila and Priscilla did a good job. So, really, Priscilla's good works are many, aren't they? She's an excellent wife. She's an excellent co-worker in both the family business and in the Lord's church. Plus, she's hospitable and a good teacher. Definitely a good encourager. Okay. Just one more example of women of action full of good works. And this one comes from Acts chapter 21. And you remember that last week we talked about Philip the evangelist. And, Philip has four daughters. And we're told in Acts chapter 21, 8 and 9, that these four daughters prophesied. In other words, they spoke the word of God. Of course, today we have the word of God, so there's no need of such gifts. But Philip's daughters had received this particular gift and used their gift like God wanted them to. 1 Corinthians 11, 5 and 6, chapter 14, verses 26 through 40, and 1 Timothy 2, 11 through 13. If you're trying to write those all down, they're already on the sermon notes for you to look at later. Okay. All right. And so we can say that Philip's daughters were full of good works and pleasing to God because God gave them a special gift and they used it the way God wanted them to, which is important. Now, the gift of prophecy or not, the example of women sharing God's word is one that women can still do today, but also by abiding by the same God-pleasing conditions that he has laid out in 1 Timothy 2, 11 through 13. Titus chapter 2, verses 4 and 5 also comes to mind, where the Bible says that older women are to train the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, to be subject to their husbands so that no one will malign the word of God. Okay. Well, in trying to put it all together, again from the book of Acts, we could see that women of action were women who prayed. And we also noted that we can pray too. We can pray too. We also saw that women of action expressed their faith by becoming Christians. And we also, of course, can become Christians. But not only that, we can help others get to know Jesus too. And we also saw that women of action were healed. And God heals us today spiritually by the blood of Jesus when we become a Christian so that we can tell others how God has been at work in our lives. And fourth, we said that we saw women of action who were full of good works. And we could always do good things for the kingdom of God. Now, rather than try to wrap up with some little story or something, I thought we'd actually take a few final thoughts on Lydia. And so if you would turn back to Acts chapter 16, I thought we would go ahead and read the text here and make a few observations about Lydia. This is Acts 16, verses 13 through, we'll read down through verse 15. 13 through 15. Bible says that on the Sabbath, we went outside, and this is going to be Luke and Paul and the others. You know, we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. If you consider me a believer in the Lord, she said, come and stay at my house. And she persuaded us. Now, we've already seen how Lydia was a woman of prayer and how Lydia was a woman of faith. And we see here how she is a woman of good works because she is hospitable, isn't she? We can see down in verse 42 of how much of an encourager she was to other Christians. She says, hey, come stay at my house. You know, come on. She persuaded them. Now, there's just one more thing, though, I think we need to see about this wonderful woman of action. And that is that Lydia was devoted to her family. How do we know that? Well, when she responds in faith to the gospel, her whole household follows suit and obeys the gospel. And so her husband and her children and all who live in her household became Christians. Just think about her spiritual presence in her family and with her children too. Think about that. This woman's children, multiple children, obviously, are following her, which means that she had very good relationships with her children, didn't she? A very good relationship with her child. They respected her authority and they obeyed her. And this woman's husband must really love her, and she must really love him. They're practicing what I call Ephesians 5:21 love, where the husband and the wife submit to one another. Plus those in Lydia's household, her workers and her servants, whoever else is there, well, they became Christians too, meaning that Lydia is a woman of integrity. She commanded respect, you see, so much so that the others followed her example too and were immersed into Christ. They all followed her example in believing the gospel and being baptized for the forgiveness of their sins and becoming a Christian. Lydia is a true woman of action. She is. She's the prime example for everything we talked about today. Well, it's my prayer that we can all look at the examples of these many women of action from the book of Acts for encouragement, for strength, for wisdom, for life, especially when it comes to our families. And so this morning, if there's anyone who needs to respond to the gospel, like Lydia or maybe one of the other many women that we've talked about this morning, woman or not, the gospel's for all, right? There's neither Jew nor slave, nor Greek nor free, nor male nor female. We're all one in Christ if we're baptized into him. So if you need to come forward this morning and obey the gospel, or if you have some other need that you might need to share with us, you're encouraged to do that as together we all stand and sing the song of encouragement.